Jesus needs you to love, love the world, love the world. Jesus needs you to love, love the world. Jesus needs you to love, love the world, love the world. Jesus needs you to love, love the world. Does it matter what race nor the color of the skin? Love your brothers round the world and do them good. Doesn't matter what race nor the color of the skin? Love your sisters round the world and do them good. To the suffering and the sad, give them love, give them love. To the humble and the poor, give them love. To the suffering and the sad, give them doesn't matter what race nor the color of the skin. Love your brothers round the world and do them good. Doesn't matter what race nor the color of the skin. Love your sisters round the world and do them good. Those who speak another language, give them love, give them love. Those who think differently, give them speak another language, give them love, those who think differently, give them love, those who live right next to you, give them love, those who come from far away, give them love, those who live right next to you, give them love, those who come from far away, give them doesn't matter what race nor the color of the skin. Love your brothers round the world and do them good. Doesn't matter what race nor the color of the skin. Love your sisters round the world and do them good. To those who are your friends, give them love, give them love. And to those who will not greet you, give them are your friends, give them love, and to those who will not greet you, give them love. Doesn't matter what race nor the color of the skin, love your brothers round the world and do them good. Doesn't matter what race nor the color of the skin, love your sisters round the world and do them good. No importa la raza ni el color de la piel, ama a todos como hermanos y haz el bien. No importa la raza ni el color de la piel, ama a todos como hermanos y haz el bien. Ama a todos como hermanos y haz el bien. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose, every power as thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne, it shall be thy royal throne, it shall be thy royal throne.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Good morning or good evening, maybe even good afternoon, depending on when you are listening on what is this Father's Day weekend. And with that, happy Father's Day to all the dads. We pray a special blessing of grace and peace and joy on your lives. And with that, above all today, may we be mindful. Remember our Heavenly Father who loves and cares for each one of us, our Heavenly Father, who, as we read all over the Scriptures, is a God of mercy. That reality captured in Psalm 25. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. The psalmist declaring, God, the essence, the heartbeat, the centrality of who you are, remember, in a word, you are mercy. Right? God, he is our God. He is our Father. A father of great mercy from, it says, of old, meaning to be of long duration. It can be translated everlasting or eternal, meaning this mercy, and we can think back to last weekend. This mercy is not, it is not a singular moment. It is not a solitary stop on the journey of life, right? Not at all. God was and is and will be of great mercy. It is everlasting, eternal, the stream that flows, the thread that weaves. It is the essence, the heartbeat, the centrality of our Father, our Heavenly Father. His every moment, his every movement, it is mercy flowing in and around and through his every action, his every interaction. Jesus himself knew God, knew his Father to be merciful. And not only that, Jesus himself was a man of mercy. And we can think back 2 weeks ago, the blind man by the roadside. And Jesus, he hears the cry, and he stops, right? He stands still. Jesus, he lives the expression of mercy. And we can think back to last week. Jesus, right, he became flesh and blood, Hebrews 2 and 17. For this reason, he, Jesus, had to be made like them, like you, like me, fully human in every way, right? Jesus, we could say, got right inside of our skin. And in the same way, we are to show mercy to one another, to the other, to every other, to get right inside the skin. Jesus, he speaks to this reality recorded in the Gospel of Luke, likely a familiar story if you've been around the Bible, been around the church community for any length of time. But here in Luke, picking it up in 10 and verse 25, we read, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now notice here the question is, what must I do? Which is worth a quick pause, because all too often we skip right over this kind of a phrase. But imagine if we were posing the question today, I think it's likely we would not ask, what must I do, but we would ask, what must I believe? But for those who are Jewish, and Jesus, he is Jewish, it is about doing. Put simply, the Jews would receive the Torah, the ancient Hebrew scriptures, by saying, Nasa v'nishma, translated as we will do and we will hear. From the scholar Jacob Wright regarding Judaism, he says, it is not about believing, it is about doing. Belief comes and it goes. Which again is not to say that to the Jew, belief has no place. The point is that the Jewish commitment is a faith that moves to action. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26, what is written in the law? He, Jesus, replied, how do you read it? He, the expert, answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. And again, notice, Jesus did not say believe this. He did not say memorize this. He did not say quote this. Right? This was a faith that moves to action. Nasa v'nishma. We will do, and we will hear. A faith that moves to action. Jesus replied, do this, and you will live. In effect, do this thing called love, agape. Agape in the Greek, what is described as an unconditional love. I think more sort of concretely defined as a benevolence and goodwill, seeking nothing but the highest good of the other. Jesus says, do that. Do love. Do benevolence and goodwill in your relationship with God, in your relationships with others, and you will live. But verse 29, he, the expert in the law, wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, and with that then he begins to tell a story, which is where I want us to center our time this morning. Jesus goes on, he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw the half-dead in the ditch guy, he passed by on the other side. So a priest and a Levite, aka those who are, we could say, experts in the law, they see this guy half dead in the ditch, and they pass by, which it could be argued is what they are supposed to do. The law stating a priest specifically becomes unclean and unable to perform his duties if he touches a corpse. And because the priest is responsible for offering sacrifices, he is in effect kind of, we could say, the gatekeeper to salvation, to eternal life, which wraps us around then all the way back to the original question. And yet, the rubber meets the road here, or at least maybe the tread of the sandals, because when it comes to the preservation of life in Judaism, all other laws are considered secondary. What is captured in the Hebrew principle of pikuach nefesh, what is in effect the preservation of life taking precedence. All other laws become secondary to the preservation of life. With that, the Levite is likely included in the story because the experts in the law were Levites, meaning the one asking, the one testing Jesus here, is likely a Levite himself, and by naming him, Jesus draws him more deeply into the story. Verse 33, but a Samaritan. And we can think here of one who is an enemy, one who is despised and discriminated against. As this one, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, it says he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So this Samaritan, who is the other in this story, comes to the guy half dead in the ditch. He sees him, interesting, and it says he has pity on him. Pity is translated from the Greek word splunknizomai, which other than it being a great word, means to have one's heart go out to another, to have one's heart go out to the other. In a word, it's to have compassion. But with that, not only does he have splanchnizomai, not only does he have this compassion, but get this, because then he goes on and we read this laundry list of different verbs, all used to describe not what the Samaritan believed, but describing what he did. Right, do this, Jesus said, and you will live. And from there we read, he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, he poured on oil and wine, he put the man on his donkey, he brought him to an inn, he took care of him. He later gave the innkeeper money, saying, when I return, I will reimburse you any extra expense. Verse 36, Jesus asks, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. In the language of William Barclay, right, the one who had the ability to get right inside the other, to see things with his eyes, to think things with his mind, and feel things with his feelings. And not only that, but then to do something about it. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise, right? Do the same. Do that thing called love. Splanchnizomai, compassion. Go and do mercy. The story is told about Fiorello LaGuardia, who served both in Congress and as mayor of New York City during the, back in the kind of the 20s and 30s, most notably during the days of the Great Depression. And as the story is told, on one bitterly cold night in January of 1935, the mayor showed up during night court in what was arguably one of, if not the poorest ward in the entire city. And as the story is told, LaGuardia proceeded then to dismiss the judge for the evening, taking over the bench himself. And after hearing a couple of cases, it was then a rather tattered and unkempt woman appeared before him, having been arrested and charged with stealing a loaf of bread. The woman explained to LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had abandoned her daughter along with her two grandchildren, in effect leaving them destitute, her daughter also having taken very ill. As the story is told, LaGuardia appeared visibly bothered, he was troubled, as he then addressed the woman, saying, my dear, I have to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. The judgment is $10 or 10 days in jail. But what observers noticed in the courtroom that evening is that as he spoke, in the midst of pronouncing this judgment, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket and placing a bill into what was his famous sombrero. He added, and here is the $10 fine, which I now pay on your behalf. As the story is told, he went on then to institute a fine of 50 cents on every other person in the courtroom that night for the crime of living in a community where a poor woman has to steal bread to feed her grandchildren. LaGuardia was a man fully entering into another's experience, getting right inside the other's skin, seeing life through her eyes, thinking with her mind, feeling her feelings. And like the Samaritan, we would say he traveled the road of mercy. Which leads me to ask, are we travelers on the road of mercy? We could ask, do we see the ache and go to the other? Do we open our eyes to see another's need? We could ask, do we splanchnizomai? Do we have compassion? Do we care for the ache of the other? Do we bandage another's wounds? Physical wounds, for sure, or maybe it's an emotional, psychological, spiritual. In fact, the word wound here comes from the Greek trauma, which is trauma. And so in that sense, maybe it looks like a listening ear, a kind word, a sitting with, Maybe holding the hand, maybe an offering of prayer. Do we care for the ache? Do we bandage another's wounds? Do we offer and provide a healing and restoring presence? And then, again, kind of thinking of this story, and there's probably other questions that we can be drawing out of this, but we could ask, will we be inconvenienced for the sake of another? Will we be inconvenienced? We could ask, will we pay the cost for another's need? Be it our time, our energy, our money, our power, our plans? Right? Is this how we are doing life? Is this how we do relationships? Are we travelers on the road of mercy? Which of these three was a neighbor to the one in need? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise, right? Go and do the same. Do that thing called love. Have splunknizomai. Go do mercy. Let's pray. God of mercy, in these days of great difficulty and challenge, when there is need all around, may we be a people who do that thing called love. May we be a people of compassion, of splunknizomai. May we be a people who travel the road of mercy. Both this day, this Father's Day, and in the days and weeks to come. And we pray this in Jesus' merciful name. Amen.